The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Podcast Network, geeky programming for all nerds and otaku across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. For more Nerdy Show podcasts, community forums, and to learn how you can support this and other fine Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
Hey guys, this is Cap from Nerdy Show. The Wicked Anime Dudes were asking us about our best or worst con experiences, most memorable experiences, and it's really hard to isolate a single one. You know, most of my con experiences have actually been since I was involved with press. If you go back to the old Nerdy Show episode that we just re-released from February 2009, I'm actually asking a question about large con experiences because at that point, I'd never gone to a con as large as MegaCon locally in Orlando, never mind, you know, San Diego or E3 or anything like that. So my con experiences might be different from the average con goer at this point. But in broad terms, the best experience in general about cons is the ability to connect with people who you really admire, and not just to meet them. That's just not good enough for me. But you know, if you've got some kind of a footing to strike up a real conversation with them and get to know them, I mean, that's something of substance. We would never have had Greg Weissman on the show or interacted with him or anything were it not for him doing a signing at the Slave Labor graphics booth at San Diego Comic-Con last year. It's an easy way to meet a lot of people with shared interests, whether they're people you admire from one of the many various nerd industries or people who just simply have a lot in common with you because you're there for the same reason. And of course, there's experiences that just can't be replicated anywhere else, like Tim and Eric's annual meetup at San Diego Comic-Con. A bunch of fans of Tim and Eric's specific brand of comedy get together and fuck around with those guys. And tagging back to Greg Weissman again, like the special meetup that he had for the Young Justice creative team and the voice actors and the fans. Completely non-sanctioned Comic-Con event. You only knew about it if you were following them on Twitter, and it was a small, very intimate meetup at a really pivotal time for a fan base that was lamenting the loss of an amazing show, and you know, they weren't the only ones who were really looking for a connection with what the future might be. The creators were too. Cons can be amazing, cons can be difficult, but they represent an infinite possibility of unique and special opportunities.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Wicked Anime Podcast. This is episode 35, and it is the first week of Con Month. It is the month where we have our biggest event of the year, which is Anime Boston. We celebrate that by having an entire month of all con-related issues. So with us here today, I am Jonathan, the Stupid Awesome Analyst. With me is Hardman with Hard Opinions, Andrew.
Hello.
And in the room here with us, we have the fangirl, Victoria.
Thank you for not calling me the lovebird. I appreciate it.
Some guy named James.
Hey, what's up?
And then on the other side of the mic, we have King Baby Duck, Evan.
Konnichiwa.
And we have 42 Believer Sarah.
What's up, everybody?
Yay! We're all here because we're all going to Anime Boston this year.
Hell yeah!
Yay!
So as the announcement goes, Wicked Anime has received their press status for Anime Boston 2014.
Woo!
So has 42's Anime Reviews.
Yeah.
And so has the Boston Bass Brigade.
Yeah!
It's like the golden trio coming to descend upon Anime Boston. And
I would agree.
It will be amazing.
I feel so weird being the two like non-press people sitting here in the room now.
Yes, but you are part. You're not going with pressed badges.
Thanks, guys.
But
you
we're getting you in the panel as crew.
Yeah.
So you're still part of Wicked Anime because you have t-shirts.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You have
t-shirts.
So professional with your t-shirts.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. You don't even
coming
have t-shirts.
Coming soon, Wicked Anime members only jacket.
Sorry.
That would be awesome.
That would be really cool.
Yeah, I want like a leather one.
I want one.
We could be a gang.
This time we're talking con horror stories, which we have fan stories.
Some con stories just in general.
Yeah, and stories just in general for the people who wanted to be nice about it. You just heard Cap at the beginning And he sent us that really cool recording. He was originally going to contribute a story, but it turned out to be a really good intro, so that's where we're going to start. Anyway, so Anime Boston is happening this year. We've had some really exciting announcements with the people who are going to be there. We had script writers, and we got seiyus. I don't recall there ever being a seiyu before at Anime Boston. Am I wrong?
What do you
mean? No, you're right.
No, yeah, I know.
I think you're right, because I've been here for, like, 11 years.
So that's a first step. And, actually, I'll save that for news. All right, let's get linear, guys. It's time to ring the news bell.
News!
Okay, so first up in news, this is what I was going to talk about earlier, which Anime Boston has announced that they are going to debut the English dub of Attack on Titan.
Oh, yay! Yes.
So many people going to one event!
I'm just hoping, packed. Crossing my fingers, hoping to God that we're going to be able to get in. Because
as
of the press status, yeah.
Well, usually press people do get in for those events for, like, the all-ages stuff. It's the 18-plus ones that press people can't get in on the spot.
I don't remember. I don't think for the Sword Art Online premiere, I don't think you could get in as press. You had to wait in line.
Well, we didn't try.
We didn't try, but as far as I know, they were turning people away, like, you have to get in, like, fairly.
But we're super special. That's
the
whole point
Titan.
Of the super special badges. Like, we should absolutely, like, even not just Wicked Anime, but if, like, you know, Anorakai and Toonami Faithful, all those guys from last year, if they're all there, yeah, we should all start, like, the press gang. And if they don't let us in, be like, we're press and we want to watch Attack on Titan.
we're going to report on it for our stuffy stuff and do thingy things and critique it and stuff. You let
Even
us
though,
in.
Those are industry
we're
terms.
We're professionals.
Those are
Funimation quoted me on the Attack on Titan.
Slow down, Sarah. I don't think our viewers understand your lingo of press. I mean,
well, they're just
going to
have to deal
stuff.
With it. They're just
well,
going to have to
she's
deal
hoping.
With it. This is
she's
the industry standard, people.
So I know that 2 weeks from this recording, we're probably going to know the answer to this, but for right now, we don't. Anybody have any predictions as to who is going to be the special super cast of Attack on Titan?
Vic Mignogna and Aaron
Yeager. Yep. Vic Mignogna.
Yeah, however,
it's Funimation. Vic
however, he is not going to be at Anime Boston because he has already signed on for MegaCon, which is happening the same exact weekend, which hopefully aww. Glitch will be covering.
Way yeah. to, like, crush well, my hopes.
Well, maybe he might do a cute little via satellite sort of thing.
Oh, I'd cry.
I was going to say, like, oh, he signed off for something else? Haha, clever Funimation. I see what you're... Oh, MegaCon? Yeah, he's probably going.
No, MegaCon's actually way smaller. Than
well, yeah, but I mean, like, you know, I thought it was just like, you know, oh, I'm sorry, I'm signed for something else. No information. But no, if he's actually signed on for an actual convention, no, they might do a cute little satellite thing. But, yeah.
As far as casting, I think Armin might be Maxie Whitehead, because they usually go for Maxie Whitehead for their boyish-sounding girls.
That's a really good call. Like, you say boyish-sounding girls?
Yeah.
Well, yeah,
difference.
It's a girl who does a boys-ish, so...
Yeah.
So, Camille, she did Al and stuff like that, and she's always
yeah,
little
she
boys,
did.
Almost always.
Nah,
they
should just go through the Full Metal Alchemist list, and there you go.
Yeah,
they should just get the guys.
The entire cast of Full Metal Alchemist.
They're the know? Ones they use the most. Like, they're everywhere in Funimation.
Yeah, well, they should just go, screw it. Let's just get the Abridge on Titan guys to do it.
Oh, my God.
Have an Armin going,
harmonize with me. God, Mikasa, don't make it gay.
Mikasa. Me got fuck it. I'm just gonna call you Mikasa.
Wait. I have the big question though. Who's gonna play Levi? All those fangirls out there, they're waiting for their Levi.
I know.
They gotta
get
the perfect actor to do it.
You know, it's sad because when I look at Levi, he kind of has that sort of Greg Ayers type of face. So I think it would be funny if he played him.
He does? I don't know.
Especially in the comedies that he is he voices in, he does dubs, especially in like Baka and Test. He kinda has that sort of face to him.
I'm torn because I want J. Michael Tatum to play him, but at the same time I don't want J. Michael Tatum to play him.
He's working
no,
on the script.
J. Michael Tatum is too deep of a voice for him.
Well, he's already working on the script, so he could be pulled into it.
ends up in some way or form.
He's going to be in that thing somewhere.
He'll show up.
He might just be, you know, random person B.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, guys, it's J. Michael Tatum. Oh, no, it's a Titan. Oh, I'm being eaten by him. Oh, that's it for my role.
Hey, look at that. He made 12 grand.
See, you know how like, whenever they announce things, they always kind of, like, the shows will mix together as they're showing them. And so far, two of Roy's people are from Full Metal are being there, like Fallman and Gene Havoc. So I'm really desperately hoping that Travis Willingham shows up. That's like, I don't know if he'll be in Attack on Titan, but I'm like desperately hoping.
I would like that too, because usually
he could be like that mustache guy who's like bald. His like name's like Dot Pixis or whatever. He's like
I would
pixie.
Hope so now, because Travis Willingham and Laura Bailey usually come as a pair now to cons.
So you want Laura Bailey?
Yeah, I was just about to say, Travis Willingham's the one who's married to Laura Bailey, right? I'll be there. I'll be like, I want to fight you, Travis Willingham. Fight you for man.
He's a very muscular man. Good luck with that.
He is like a giant. He's so
really
tall.
Fun to look at. Let's just say it that way. Sorry, honey.
Okay, let's move on. Let's move on to the next piece of news. It was announced this week that the Toriko anime is going to end on March 30th after a 3-year run. On the network that it's running, Dragon Ball Kai is going to be taking its place. Now, what was interesting about that was it's going to be premiering, Dragon Ball Kai is going to premiere on April 9th at 9 a.m., which means Toriko is on at 9 a.m. And Toriko here in the States is like late night material, you know, Adult Swim worthy material. Yeah. So the fact that it like premieres as like a 9 a.m. Saturday morning cartoon makes me think like we really don't understand what you know, culture is like for TV wise in Japan, I guess.
I always joked about, like, hey, an R-rated cartoon in America is a G-rated in Japan.
Oh, yeah. Another fun thing that I learned. Apparently, Japanese people think that Doctor Who isn't a family show because it always airs at night.
Huh.
So they're like,
and is that, like,
Doctor Who,
reason?
It airs at night. It's not a family show.
Like, that's all they're basing it off of?
Yeah.
Just, like, the time of day?
When in all honesty, it's just everyone's finally out of work and ready to watch it.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's really interesting. In semi-related news to anime on TV, the Neon Alley app has gone free.
Yay!
Yeah, so that's, I think that was a good move on their part. They're definitely going to get a lot more viewers. Especially because, I mean, we talked about this on the podcast before. It was really a big issue with us here that we had to pay for a channel that we weren't necessarily ever going to get to see what we wanted to watch. You know, because of scheduling issues, it's like, oh, well, I'm at work when the show that I would want to watch is on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, wait, it's not on demand. It's not like Crunchyroll. So
no.
It's like a streaming TV station.
Exactly.
Yep. Oh, okay.
Neon Alley is a TV station with a time schedule.
Yeah, with time scheduling and time slots.
Yeah, I'm not going to be like, I have no idea
what
that is.
That's neat.
Yeah, pretty neat. Yeah, but it was pay before, and now it's a free app.
Yesterday.
Yeah. Maybe that means they'll start airing, like, the HD remastered version of Rama 1/2.
Yeah, I would love... I'm going to have that on DVD anyway, so I don't need it.
Yeah, same here.
with what I got the other day, with my awesome 3-episode DVD set of Ranma. It's freaking awesome. Forgot it was in English.
Oh, that's the other one that's like, that's like Brad Swale.
Yeah, I totally forgot that English dub happened for Ranma, so when I started playing the DVD, I was like, English? This is awesome! And then we were like, Brad Swale is Goose!
Oh, God.
Moose, who turns into the Goose, yeah. I thought that was freaking awesome.
Bradswell.
Bradswell. But we'll get to that later. You'll hear a lot more about Bradswell later in the podcast.
Of course.
So to top off media news, we have a crowdfunding project that was coming out in Japan for a cosplayer suitcase. Now, what this is called the Cost Case, and it's being produced by a luggage company called Friend Trip. It is a case that's specifically designed for cosplay costumes with, you know, wide, you know, pouches for needing to keep things neat. It has straps, like elastic straps on the side to put weapons or props on the side of, and it also has a makeup kit tray.
So how do we get a hold of one of these?
Well, it's being crowdfunded right now.
Oh, okay.
Each unit costs around $150.
Oh, God.
Jeez.
Yeah.
You're a cosplayer. You can't afford
it's a pretty decent-sized luggage case, and it has, like, places for, like, wigs and stuff like that, like the whole shebang.
Yep. But, I mean, that's not
That's not terrible.
That's not an unusual price for a suitcase.
Yeah, but I mean, like, when they come out with this, I'm just going to kind of look at them and really just say, well, you know, that's great and all, but I'm not going to spend $150. I'm going to do it the right way. I'm going to put 3 weapons under one arm, all my wigs under my other arm, and just go through the subway hitting people with them.
It's so much fun.
Yeah, I'm going to do the normal thing and just say, I don't need one of you because I don't cosplay lately.
Yeah.
I would find that convenient, though, like, because, I mean...
Not cosplaying? Yeah,
no, putting it in a case like that, because, I mean, especially this year, I have this big, long dress and kimono thing, and it's going to get in a giant headdress, which I'm terrified of, but it's going to be, like, super complicated on the train. Having a case would have been so much easier.
Yeah, I'm just going to wear the costume in... You know,
I will kill anyone who steps on my dress. Don't even start with me.
don't mess with the dress.
But as of this recording right now, the project is looking to get 3.2 million yen to support it, which is...
That's a lot of yen.
It's roughly around $32,000 American, we'll say. No, well, okay, maybe a little higher than that, so probably like 40, 45. And currently they are at a little under 1 million yen. So they're about a third of the way there as of this recording. 2 weeks from now when this is released, I don't know. But
well, no, it'll probably be a huge jump once everybody listens to our podcast.
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah. All that Japan crowdfunding. But there's 35 days left on the project, so I'm sure they'll be fine.
I just want to interject really quick since we talked about the cosplay thing.
Fine.
No, go ahead. Shut up. All right, I found this thing. I brought up news. Oh, what? What you gonna do now? And it's local news, kind of. It's a store called Kwaimi in Somerset,
Massachusetts. Read about that. You tumbled
and it's got a Kickstarter.
So yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
okay.
It's also got a Kickstarter. So, like, yeah, actually, that's important, I think.
Yeah, actually, Peter Payne at J-List made a post about that, too. Which is pretty awesome.
Interesting.
Peter Payne posting on Massachusetts.
Yeah.
It's got like 25 days to go. They only want like $2,500 and they've only got $295 right now.
You're kidding me? That only $2,500 for a store?
It's like they're trying to do a fashion show.
Oh, okay.
And they're trying to do this really really architectural kind of fabric setup stage for the fashion show that someone's designing for it. And it's supposed to look... It looks hella awesome, like, in the concept art. And I'm just like, I want to do that.
Sarah.
It's kawaii days.
Sarah, how come you haven't given all of your money to these people yet? It's what you want.
College student.
Guys, where do you think that $200
I don't have
there,
money.
Bro?
College student who's trying
she
to get
She has to buy all of her Nendoroids, Jonathan.
There's like a Kill a Kill and a Satsuki one, and not Mako. Fuck Mako. Anyway, that's all I had to say.
Why do I hate Mako so much?
That's all I had to say.
Okay, so we don't have any gaming news, so we're going to skip right to strange news. Yeah.
Yay!
And we actually only have one piece of strange news, but it's okay. It tops the charts. February 22nd in Japan is known as Cat Day, and it's known that because 22 in Japanese is pronounced nya, which...
Oh, God. Damn it.
Okay, so...
That's what I thought, too. We're going to get along fine at Anime Boston. I feel it now.
This is going to be good.
I was thinking more of the Tom Waits version of...
So, what's happened in Japan this year for Cat Day, Japanese restaurant called Mon Petit, which is also the same name of an extremely popular cat food brand, is recreating cat food dishes in gourmet food selection styles for their restaurant. And all of their waiters and waitresses and the waiting staff and everything, they have cat makeup on and they have the cat ears and everything like that.
That's a bit overkill.
Is it bad that as soon as you said Cat Day and restaurant,
it could be all written by Andrew Lloyd Webber.
Oh my God, don't even get me started on cats. We're not going there. It's probably like the worst musical Andrew Lloyd Webber has ever done.
Oh God.
Really? Have you never seen Starlight Express? It's a musical on roller skates!
I love Starlight Express.
Starlight Express.
Get out. I love Starlight Express. Fuck you all.
No, the biggest thing about this news is I am surprised that Andrew doesn't have a ticket already.
That's true.
Hey, it was on February 22nd. It was a while back.
So I missed it.
Well, next year.
Next year.
Based on the pictures, it's not all that. It's not all that appealing.
Oh well, that's just a shame.
Let me.
I mean, no one could have foreseen that. Cat food for people would have gone
bad.
So
it's marking cat day in the calendar for next year.
So, whoa. So the people actually ate the cat food? It wasn't like gourmet cat food for cats?
No, it was the meals were recreated to be like cat food.
So a bunch of just beef chunks.
Why would you
in a lot
that?
Of frothy water with a there little bit of shrimp.
Oh my god, that's a horrifying picture.
Yeah. Like, why
waitress
would you
looks fine. The waiter looks horrible.
This seriously just looks like a bad like Halloween party that just no one got the memo.
Is that picture?
It's sad that I know a couple furries that would love to do something like
oh,
that.
Oh yeah, I know a couple too. But...
That picture right there looks like a Dr. Seuss picture.
It
like
does.
Live action Dr. Seuss right there.
How about this? Yeah. Link
us because I really want to see what this picture.
There's a link in the description, guys.
Okay,
yeah, we'll post it on Tumblr with it too after it comes out.
Yeah,
there's going to be links to it everywhere. Don't worry.
Well, everyone needs to see this.
Yeah, you know, right. I was thinking it was going to be phenomenal.
This fits perfect.
Put together.
Oh god, it's cats.
This is terrible. No, my high school did cats. Okay, my high school did cats as the musical, and that is legit the makeup they used.
That's
like the dishes.
My main question: the girl at least
looks a little cute, but.
Yeah,
my yeah, the
God, the guy
kinda
is just like
the waiter looks.
It's
terrifying.
Like my worst nightmare come true.
Okay, now my main questions are these: one, did they replace the toilets?
Oh my God. Now
the second one is: after your meal, did they send you out with a little baggie? You know, say, oh yeah, it's catnip. You know, just.
Like, so they're sending you out with drugs.
Yeah,
right?
I got the good stuff. It's cat.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, guys, maybe you want to try this.
Okay, the crackers look good, but everything else here is just shit.
Oh my gosh. That was pretty strange. That is as strange
what
as
the
it gets.
Hell?
Exactly.
As you're still dying in the background.
So I'm guessing that's why they call it strange news.
Okay, so it's time to move on to what we're watching. For me, it hasn't changed much. I've just watched a little bit more of Brotherhood.
Yeah.
Finally started watching Victoria.
I'm very proud of you. Like, yeah. I
finished the whole first part one, so I've seen all the first 13 episodes.
Well, let me know when you're done, because then I can finally go on my
Yeah, now we can talk to you guys, you know?
Brotherhood's amazing.
It's so
Thank
is.
You.
It is. I understand why everybody likes it so much. Yes. It's not that I doubted them to begin
yeah,
with.
Yeah, see, now...
Yeah, no, yeah.
And, yeah, I probably just talked about it a little too much and made it sound annoying.
No, because I said it last episode, but I've always liked Full Metal Alchemist.
Yeah.
Like, I hope I've never given off the impression that I don't like Full Metal Alchemist, because I do. It's just, you know, not my favorite anime in the whole world, like, for a lot of people.
Victoria!
Shut up! There's nothing wrong with that. It's a beautiful anime.
No, I have a friend who's FMA Brotherhood is her favorite anime too. It's cool.
Everyone walks in my room at school and they see like, oh, I have like one full fairy tale wall scroll and one Ouran wall scroll, and the other side of my wall is just all Full Metal Alchemist. Like, it's an entire wall.
So like, Victoria, you would get along with really well with my friend Valerie, because like she loves that same stuff.
I'm obsessed
and
with Edward
Elric. She loves Vic Mignogna.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. When I started getting introduced to it, Victoria introduced it to me.
Yeah, I made James watch it.
And so I was just like, oh, well, I've been buying the DVDs
yeah,
for you. I might as well
them
watch
them. I was like, hey.
So, yeah, I got addicted. It's a great anime. I think the only thing that really made me hesitate from watching it was there was no real mystery going into it. Everyone just told me it was awesome. So I was like, oh, I guess I'm just going to like it. So there was no real reason to watch it.
It's funny, he'd buy it.
That's weird.
It's kind of like Citizen Kane. You don't want to sit through Citizen Kane to be like, yeah, that's right, that is the best movie ever made.
Right.
You just want to assume that Citizen Kane is the best movie ever made. That way you are not disappointed.
Yeah, exactly.
It's funny.
Actually, I was bored with Citizen Kane.
See, a lot of people get that reaction, but I'm under the impression still that Citizen Kane is one of the best movies ever made, but I'm never going to see it, so.
You just keep the illusion intact.
Like, very very happy. I'm very proud of you.
Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah, Full Metal Alchemist is freaking awesome.
At least, like, Full Metal Alchemist alone, it was definitely a good series, but they didn't end it well. Like, just all of a sudden, oh, hey, so everyone died. Then they didn't die, then they did die, and then they didn't die again. And then, oh, we're just going to go off on adventures and not solve any issues.
Well, like, I feel like the main reason for that is just, like, they were setting it up in the manga to actually go in a certain direction. And when they kind of lost that direction and just kind of went
then they tried to fix it with Conqueror of Shambhala and ruined everything.
Yeah. Conqueror of Shambhala was just...
Hughes as a Nazi was just wrong at all levels.
Well, the thing is, Brotherhood is one of those things that sets up stuff, like, at the very beginning. Like, it goes full circle as much as it can. And that's really important. So when you don't really get the full circle, you just start going off in different ways, and it's... It's Full Metal Alchemist.
Brotherhood
was
beautiful.
It's decent, but, you know.
It's because Brotherhood stayed true to the manga. It didn't go
well.
Yes,
it did.
Yeah, it's a whole thing, ultimately.
Sorry.
Let's move on to some more opinions, seeing that we've really gone in depth to this, which we already kind of did last week. But, Victoria, what are you marathoning?
Shut up. Actually, I'm focusing on graduating college, thank you very much, but I am not...
What?
College is overrated.
That and, you know, the 634th episode of One Piece.
Yeah.
I've seen the first three episodes of Blue Exorcist, and I want to watch a little bit more of that. So I haven't been marathoning much lately. Actually, I marathoned a non-anime.
Yeah.
Jackie Chan Adventures. Yeah, I watched all, what is it, 5 seasons?
Yes.
In a week?
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry.
I don't know how you do it, but
it's
you
fun.
Do.
Yeah, it was a good, like, 80 episodes.
Jackie Chan's not even in it.
he's
gonna like Jackie.
Don't rain on her parade, okay? Let her watch what she wants to watch.
Thank you.
I watched Summer Wars, finally.
Summer Wars!
I did. Yay! I watched Summer Wars.
My favorite.
I was very, very happy with it.
You better be very, very happy with it, or else you're wrong.
If you said anything else but you're very, very happy with it, we would have crucified you.
I was kind of slow getting into it at first. Like, the first, like, minute and a half, I was just kind of like...
The first minute and a half,
and then, like,
this
and then,
okay.
Instantly, I was just, like, really engaged in it. I was just like, wow, that didn't take long at all.
Dude, it's Mamoru Hosoda.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
If you don't like what he's doing, then you're wrong.
If you don't like what he's doing, then you get out.
Have you seen Wolf Children yet?
I haven't seen
it. We have a nice little rocket ship that will take you off this planet if you don't like Mamoru Hosoda.
I've still been watching I'm Gonna Be an Angel, but I've already discussed that in the last episode. It's still really good. That's what you need to know. And for all of you who don't know, that's the review that I'm working on right now, which is going to be a very interesting episode when I'm done with it. So,
can we eventually do a Brotherhood review?
No, because all we're going to say is, this was good! Thanks for watching!
Let me do it. I'll go in depth with all the guys.
What about you? How about you guys? Over there.
Oh, over there. Over this way. Oh. Me, I have been enjoying the hell out of Inari Konkonkoi Iroha this season, which is like the resident long title this season. This is like all those anime with freaking long titles. And then I just marathoned all of Fate Zero, like, in a day. And that was fun.
I haven't seen Fate Zero.
Fate Zero is really good.
Like, isn't that a sequel, though?
Yeah, Fate Zero is the sequel.
Fate Zero is the prequel.
Well,
that
Fate
came
Stay
out
Night came
after
out.
Yeah, Fate right. Stay Night. But I just watched Fate Zero because everyone says Fate Stay Night sucks, so I just skipped it. Just like, I don't care.
There you go.
Were you at all confused?
Not really.
If it's
no,
a prequel.
No, it was really, really quite, like, I didn't need it at all.
You could watch the, like, original Fate Stay Night, which is all hentai.
You would recommend that.
Like,
I don't know
game.
How you
well, because that's what Fate Stay Night is. Fate Stay Night
it
is.
It is.
It's an
arrow game.
It's an
arrow game. Yeah, arrow game, and then they turned it into a non-arrow game
but, like,
anime.
I think the best thing is everyone of my friends who jokes about Fate Stay Night is like, no, when they have a sex scene in Fate Stay Night, it's a CGI dragon. And that's how you're supposed to know it's a sex scene.
What?
They like what? Put in a scene of a CGI dragon like just roaring around and shit, and that's like sex scene.
Okay.
Fun fact of the day.
That's an interesting.
You're
it's
welcome.
Kind of sexy.
All right,
Evan, you watch anything new?
I reviewed this last week, but it's a great little anime called Tonari no Seki-kun, and it's each episode is like about 8 minutes long, and it's about these two students, And there's one of them, Seki, who, instead of doing his classwork, he's doing like these really crazy things on his desk, like doing dominoes, making a volcano. It's the other student, Yokai, and she's like, she's getting distracted, but she's always the one that gets in trouble because she's the one that's like making noise about him doing things. But when the teacher looks at him, oh, it's all clear. He's just twiddling his thumbs, doing nothing.
It's like Phineas and Ferb, the anime.
Just about, but it's really funny. I really enjoyed it. And I've also been watching D.D. Fist and the North Star. You see, I get some of the jokes. I don't get some of the jokes. The one episode I love was when the three are kicked out and they have to find their own home. And there's an amazing Popeye reference that just made me roll around laughing.
No, see, I fell in love with D.D. Fist of the North Star from the first episode just because, like, Rao, who's like, I'm the king of customer service! Like, I am the king of this!
I'm the king of crying!
Yeah, and then Toki's always, like, coughing up blood whenever he's trying to say something important. It is a funny show,
but I know some people who are not familiar with Fist of the North Star aren't going to get half of the jokes.
No, not at all. Well, because, I mean, regardless of it just being funny, you have to be a fan of Fist of the North Star because all the jokes directly correlate to the content within the show because they're just poking fun at their own show.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what I had actually paralleled that to my Robot Girl Z review that I put out yesterday.
That's funny. I've been watching that too, and I find that to be really hilarious.
Yeah.
So it's time to move on to our Tamagotchi, which we are talking con horror stories.
And we are sharing all of your horror stories that you sent to us. Thank you very much for everybody who contributed.
Yes, indeed. Oh, God, thank you very much. So, should we start with explaining what we were freaking out earlier about the Brad Swale one?
And how Brad Swale is a form of time.
It's a unit of measurement, yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Explain this to me, because I've never heard the story before, and I'm really interested now.
Okay, so our first year of Anime Boston, which was 2008... The big guest there was Brad Swale because Death Note was out during the time, and he was like, "Yeah,
and Amuro Ray,
yeah, but that already happened."
Yeah, no, I just remember James like waiting for the Brad Swale signing, getting kicked out like every 5 minutes, and like he's holding like this big poster of like
his was a limited edition.
He had just bought it like 5 minutes before.
He's just like standing in line with this big poster, like I want to meet Brad Swale.
Everyone wanted that poster too.
Anyways. So, everybody who is familiar with the history of Anime Boston, 2008 was called the year of LineCon, which you had to wait in line for hours upon hours for everything, and we waited in line to get Brad Swale's autograph for 3.5 hours.
Now, wait a second. We didn't even get to meet him after that.
No, we didn't.
Because they were like, because we got to the end of the line, and there were 7 people left. And they were like, all right, the cutoff point is right here. And that was me. So, everybody was behind me. And there was only like the 5 of us left who wanted to meet him.
The good thing was that we got layover tickets where he did a layover signing the next day. And we got, and all 5 people who were left in line got to hang out with him for a whole hour.
I missed out. I went to the Pillows concert.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's more important. The Pillows are more important than anything else.
Yeah. I went to see Brad Swale because I got a poster from his sign. Now, what makes it another decent part of a horror story was we were only supposed to be in line to be a distraction for our friend Ryan, who we were setting up a surprise birthday party back at the hotel room. And so, like, we were in line, and we're like, okay, we'll have an hour to set up, we'll get an autograph, and then we'll go back and have a party. 3.5 hours later,
we're in the hotel. Where the hell are they?
Yeah, they're like, where are you? It's like, you told us to wait in line for Brad Swale.
Hey, he was surprised. It worked out. So.
It was a real horror story for me because, like they said, I was circling the door. Yeah. And, like, you know, I just kind of kept setting up near the door. And, like, this lady kept coming over and she kept like, yelling at me, like, look, you can't sit up here. And I'm just like, I'm just waiting, lady. She's like, I see your poster. You're waiting for Brad Swale. I'm like, okay, you caught me. Can I just wait here? And so she sent me down the end of the hallway. She's just like, I don't want to see you again. And as I left, she's like, okay, line can start. And then, like, 30 people who were meandering around the hallway just ran.
Yeah. So,
She's a bitch.
So, so towards the end of that story, for all Wicked anime fans listening, you are now in the know. A Brad Swale is a measurement of time of 3.5 hours.
Yes.
That is a Brad Swale of time.
Let's hope we don't have any that. Brad Swales at Anime Boston 2014.
That hasn't happened since.
No.
Correct. I would imagine that they would
the
have fixed that ASAP.
The great weight of 08, as it's known.
Yeah, there were some people that year who waited 16 hours in line to get their registration tickets. Yeah,
well, guess what?
I was one of them.
Hey, we pre-registered, so we didn't have that problem.
Yeah, we always pre-register.
So,
yeah.
Oh, actually, no. I actually pre-registered, and I still couldn't get in on Friday.
Really?
But
really?
See, that's the thing. We always go on Thursday. Always. Like, since 2008, our first year of the convention, always go to Anime Boston on Thursday.
Because
we actually count Thursday as our first day of the con because we're always hanging out as friends.
Yeah.
We're kind of like pre-gaming it. We go to Champions.
Yeah. Hockey game.
I always just not watch the boys be hypnotized by the hockey game.
Yeah, like, no hockey game this year. No.
What am I going to watch this time then? That's
what we'll make our own hockey game. There's plenty of ice still in Boston.
Well, that's true.
All right, so what do we got for other stories?
Okay, so let's start off with...
We'll do it in order from who emailed us first, which was Emma.
Hi, Emma.
Yeah. She gave us a nice story, so we'll start off with something, you know...
A little bit softer than Mara.
Yeah,
where is she from?
We don't know.
Oh. From Emma
Google.
From nowhere?
We don't...
No,
we don't.
Yahoo. She's from Yahoo.com.
Yeah. Okay. So her story is, last year was my first year at Anime Boston.
So this is an Anime Boston goer, so this is great. So but I hope we get to meet her.
And I was walking down the hallway, and there was a Tamaki cosplayer at one point who was passing out fake roses.
I saw him!
This was Saturday, and I think I was Liechtenstein from Italia that day. He came up to me, bent down, and said, "Hello, princess. I can't stay long, but here's a rose to remember me by." When he left, I was standing there, a shocked look on my face, which was probably red as well, and I was holding a fake rose. I squealed and fangirled after I realized what had happened. Probably the best first con experience you could have, in my opinion. Yeah, so that's a really nice story.
Okay.
I think.
That's
I mean,
like
it's like
a, not a horror story. It's like
a horror story.
Maybe not being able to react to it at that moment was the bad part. Of
yeah,
it. Like
everybody always seems to have either a good first con experience or a bad first con experience because,
well, how awesome would it be? You know, this is your first convention, and somebody. Who, I mean, you know it's not Tamaki. I mean, it's a cosplayer. But like
in that moment, you don't.
Yeah, right. Just the experience of somebody who you have no idea who they are, just kind of being nice to you.
Yeah.
I mean, like...
He's being Tamaki. Like, yeah, that's something he would walk up to any girl. Hello. Like, what? Hi,
I mean, it's the same thing, too. Like, they're sharing in an inside joke. Because, like, you know...
Yeah.
Pretty much pick any girl at the con, you know, she's going to know Auron.
My first con experience is actually kind of an opposite thing. I was one of the guys, when we were waiting for you guys to get your tickets, one of the guys who was in front of you in line, who were talking to earlier, he was dressed up as Monkey D. Luffy from One Piece.
Luffy.
And I was trying to find out where you guys were in line. So we started getting to chatting, and I asked him, "So you already got your ticket, right?" And he just looks at me, he goes, dead face, he goes, "No." And then he walks away. But because like what I was going to say is, so you got your ticket, right? Where were the people in line behind you? Were they about to come out? That's what I was going to say, but he stopped me right at, so you got your ticket, right? And it was so weird. Like,
he was weird. That dude was weird.
Then he was Luffy.
Yeah.
Because that works.
The first time that we had gone was the night before to pick up our badges pre-reg, and there were only a couple people there. And... like, this was our first exposure to a con at all.
Yeah, ever.
Was that night. And when we had gotten there, like, there were people dressed in costumes, like, waiting in line. The con wasn't even till tomorrow. And I remember Andrew and I looking at each other going, like, these people are nerds.
Yeah. I have come home to one where I can be truly myself.
So, like, it was our first exposure to saying, like, okay, so there's a place where we can go where there's going to be a lot of people who are like-minded with us, and it's a safe haven.
Sometimes. Yeah. Some of them are really weird.
Some of them are really, really weird.
What else we got?
Yeah.
Okay, well, now we've read one of their stories.
Somebody want to share one of theirs? I've already shared, like, three.
Well, I had a funny experience last time.
Yeah, last year.
Last year. Oh, God. So I decided to go as Thor, the Avengers costume.
For those who don't know, he has the hair for it.
Yeah.
Literally, like, the hair length is ridiculous.
I don't have the height or the muscles, but I've got the hair. So I've got that going for me. So I get the full Thor costume. It's the expensive one. It's the one that's supposed to be the highest quality, but you know, it's all right. So
it was a onesie.
Yeah, right.
It was a onesie. It was made out of like rubber, and I'll tell you right now, rubber is hot.
Well, and especially when you're in the center of the convention where there's no exits.
Yep.
And you're in
or water fountains.
And you're in a room filled with people because we were in the dealer's room.
Yep.
And it's practically pretty well spaced out. But you still have to be in close proximity to people. And if you're in a rubber suit, close proximity to anything is not good.
Yeah. It's kind of like penguins, how they kind of shuffle around for warmth. Yeah. People at conventions, they generate heat.
So I was with James at this time.
Yep.
And I'm gonna join in on his storytelling because I just love his reaction where he was bright red and he was talking and he was just like, "Guys, like I have to get water."
I was walking with you guys. I stopped dead. You both, like, everyone, like, turned around. They're just like, "James, what's wrong?" And I just kind of look up and I was just like, I have to go.
Yeah. It's like, I thought he was going to die.
It was really bad. So I ended up, like, just stripping out of the costume, like, 10 minutes into the convention, shoving it in a bag and just being like, "I'm not doing that again." And then the next day I figured out a way where if I went out every 15 minutes and opened my suit up to the elements.
It just thinks that you have to do that, though. You have to leave the con and go outside, and it's going to be cold this year. Or
yeah. See, knowing all this, he's decided he's going as Thor again this year.
Yeah. Well, now I know what to do.
Yeah, it's called cut holes.
Yeah, behind the cape.
Cut out the back of the cape.
I thought we did that. I thought, like, you had, like, a hole in the back of your...
Nah, yeah, I unzipped it a bit, and I was just like, yay!
Okay.
Do you want to read one or want one of ours?
Yeah, we should read another one.
Yep, we'll
probably.
Read another one.
So let's see. Our next one comes from Jim Madogu.
Yeah, that's an alias. So he said it was okay for us to say the full name. Preamble: in the military and at the time, I was in school in Northern California.
Far away.
Yep, with some people that became my core group of anime and gaming buddies. Saris, one of the guys in our group, who took his nickname from Helsing. Which I thought was funny. I read Saris. I was like, "Oh, is that his real name?" And then it was because, you know, Saris Victoria. But
he must carry around. He must be the heavy weapons guy.
Yeah. So heard about a con in San Francisco, JTAF, as I recall. And a little after a little bit more research, we found two or three more cons that weekend. So we got tickets and drove down to check it out. JTAF was great, and so were the others, with the exception of one. I kind of want to know if some of these cons are still around. You know, it was a while ago. It was a lot smaller than the others, but it mentioned that after 10, they would boot anyone underage out of the convention, and the entire convention would switch over to focus on hentai.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so...
Oh, my God, they would round up the younglings.
Yeah, and like, "You, what's your birthday? Get out!
Bring out your underage! Bring out your underage!"
And then... So he said, "So
all right, Joseph, now there's the pool."
So he said that everybody in his group at the time was just barely, you know, of age. So they were all 18. I assume from the story. But none of them had any experience with hentai. So they obviously haven't been anime fans for very long because...
You find it pretty cool.
Yeah, I don't know about you guys, but when I was like, "Anime, that's kind of cool, hentai." You know,
like, it was like the second thing in Google.
So they said that they switched over to hentai. And then it said, it took about 15 minutes of browsing the dealer's booths and RSLE and peeking into panels to realize what it really was. It wasn't just hentai, nor was hentai even 10% of the content. It was yaoi. And it got weird.
Oh,
so this con now... What is the decision that, like, where do people bring in, like, the fact that...
Yeah, see, now I'm saying, because, I mean, Anime Boston has it pretty well rounded, where that they don't allow the yaoi fans to, and you know yaoi fans are like, oh, okay, like they're
girls, yeah, basically.
Well, I know, but like they're, you kind of have to be careful because they're weird.
They're rabid. They are rabid. Do not get in the way of a yaoi fangirl. You will die.
Yeah. As my favorite artist in the world, Omar Dogan, says, yaoi is the bane of the existence of anime.
Mainly just anyway. For the fans. Mainly just because of the fan base.
Victoria, sure. Quiet.
Yeah.
No, I'm like remembering my horror story, which should go after this.
Oh, okay. So he says, nowadays I don't have any issues with the genre being hentai.
A little bit of a segment.
So, I grew up, got over myself, and discovered the golden rule, and it hurt none. Do what you will. Back then, my friends and I were a bit less flexible. So we left as quickly as we could, too gracefully. And now
not
look,
not too gracefully, I might
have. Now look, I mean, look, I'm not staying anywhere. I mean, you don't have to grow up to stay away from yaoi. I will stay away from yaoi. Just saying, that's not what I'm into. So
they're such strong hands.
Oh my god, the art in yaoi. You don't understand. All right, I have been like on a quest to make a video about yaoi. And I'm just so I can criticize it and tell people how bad it is.
Yeah.
And it's just, oh my god, it's just the worst.
Well, they look like such strong hands, don't they?
So now, there's the part in the story where he said, if it gets weird, we'll split. Now, they were expecting, you know, hentai while they were there. So, and anybody would think that, like, if they're not expecting hentai, they're going to think that's weird, too.
Yeah.
But the fact that they were expecting hentai, the fact that it was yaoi is a whole nother level of weird. It's kind of like this. It's a shock to anybody's system. Like,
oh, I know what you're going to talk about.
I'm going to talk about my MegaCon story, which is I was at a booth where they were selling doujins and stuff like that. So I was thumbing through them, and there was one of the boxes that I was thumbing through where I didn't realize where I was because there was so many people crowded around it. People I didn't know were 100% females. They were standing in front of a giant rainbow banner that said yaoi right across it. And so I was standing up at the booth thumbing through all of these doujins, and I was like, Kamina and Simone, Dr. Stein and Death. Like, you know, it's like...
Please tell me your brother wasn't anywhere behind you.
No.
If people saw twins looking through yaoi, that would not happen.
Oh, my God. Well,
and see, the thing twin is, too, this is actually, like, something... Like, ending up with, like, thumbing through the yaoi doujins is something that happens to guys a lot more often than we like to admit. Yeah. Regardless of who you are... even if you don't like hentai, it's always fun to thumb through the doujins because you get to see characters being like, those two characters, they would never do that, but it's a doujin, so who cares? So it's kind of fun to look through them and buy doujins. I think buying doujins is so fun because you get to buy things about a character, like a specific character that you like that is just weird.
I always get a kick out of the plot they try and throw in there. Like, the first three pages are an attempt at a plot to make it okay. Or they just go straight into it.
Yeah, and so it's funny because as you thumb through doujins, you find artists that are anime artists, but like before they were an anime artist. Because we found like a hentai doujin that was made by the Sergeant Frog guy.
Really?
And it was Sergeant Frog art, but porn. It was awesome.
Please tell me you bought that.
I didn't. No, somebody else bought it. Like, somebody else, like, just nabbed it. Because the guy running the booth was like, oh, yeah, does that look art look familiar to you? And I went, yeah, that's Sergeant Frog. And somebody was like, oh, that is mine. So,
boo!
Yeah, so...
That's rude.
But people who run doujin booths are awesome.
Yeah, talk to the hentai sellers. Yeah, they are great. They are great people.
But yeah, that is, guys will always run into the yaoi, whether they mean to. Most likely, they do not mean to. But they end up there somehow, and then they're like, oh my gosh, what am I doing here?
It's okay to like your poultry well-dressed.
Yes.
All right, Victoria, yeah, you guys.
Okay, I don't know. Well, I don't know if I mentioned this last time. It's more embarrassing, if anything, because the first time that we went to hentai dubbing was definitely, yeah, like, the most traumatizing. No.
For you. For...
Well, yeah, I'm going with two brothers. I don't want, like, it was really weird. And I had to sit between them so the brothers weren't watching porn together. So.
We did. We were like, Victoria, you're separating us.
And, like, my friend.
That just makes it worse.
Our friends who really wanted us to go with them couldn't get in because they didn't bring ID. So it was just the three of us. And we're like, this is weird. This is really weird. What are we doing? And we're just in line awkwardly. And the same person, I guarantee, who yelled at you guys about Brad Swale came over and, yeah, was yelling at us in line. Be like, make sure you have your IDs. This is the line to go watch the porn. And she's making it the most embarrassing thing possible.
Yeah, she's like,
who wants to watch the naughty cartoons?
Yeah. She said that. She, yeah, like, kept, exactly, yelling everything horrible. It was just so scary.
And actually, that's kind of funny. Just as a short little side story that kind of has nothing to do with it, but kind of related. I remember when we were setting up for our hardcore anime panel, and you have, like,
show up.
You have, like, you have the security guards waiting out front, and because we have an 18 plus tag in front of our thing, all the staff and all the security guards, like, assume that we're a hentai panel, which we're not. We're the hardcore anime panel. And so I hear the security guard walk up, like, looking around and just going, like, oh, yeah, I'm at the hardcore hentai panel. And it's just, like, making us sound like we're this nasty panel, which
was Brendan, like,
I mean, we could probably do something like that, but I'm just saying, we're not, you know.
but yeah, like, I mean, of course, after it ended, once we got in there, it was, like, the most hilarious thing ever.
Yeah.
I remember, like, we all literally were just, like, shoulder to shoulder, crying on each other's shoulder, like, yeah,
laughing so hard.
It was hilarious. But, I mean, the experience of going in there was the horror stuff, like, the horror part, because she made it horrible, and the three of us are just like, this is going to be really awkward. Like, are we really doing this?
No, I was ready. I was, like, I was dead set.
Was your body ready?
I was like,
you were ready. I was like, oh, God. And then you're like, you have to sit between us.
Okay, so on to the next story, which comes from Gerardo.
Our good buddy Gerardo.
Who emailed us.
I heard you got this in late, Gerardo, like right before. What the hell? Like, of all the people.
You got deadlines, man. Like, get it in there.
You have expectations now, Gerardo. Yeah.
If we ask you to do something, we expect you to be there. Our wicked fan, Gerardo. He is. He's awesome.
Okay.
We appreciate for this all of his one, contributions.
He's out west, so his story comes from Anime Expo. During 2012's Anime Expo, somebody had left their bag in a food court for quite a long time, just outside the exhibition hall. The bomb squad had been called to check the bag,
oh, God,
and while the whole area was evacuated. I was inside the exhibit hall at the time, and we weren't allowed to leave until the threat was clear. Though there was no danger, it was still a very frightening experience to see it happen. And then he's got another one. In 2006, Anime Expo, while waiting in line, a girl passed out. It turned out that she was just dehydrated and slightly fatigued. But this is the reason why it's really important to always have, like, water and snacks on you during the con. Water is super important,
yeah, always carry. Yeah. I mean, Anime Boston doesn't allow you to bring around food. In the convention hall, but bring water, please, because all of those, I see a lot of people being like, you have to drink Monster to keep your energy up. No!
That dehydrates,
yeah,
you faster.
Don't do that. Bring water. Please drink water.
I mean, like, our friend Will, who drinks Monsters all the time.
I'll,
like,
tell you something right now.
He was dying all the time.
Don't get into a Thor costume that's all rubber.
Without water?
Bad idea.
Now, related to his bomb squad story, too, this is also reminding me, I think it was 2 years ago, during Otakon, a fire alarm was pulled.
Yeah, this is kind of infamous, infamous Otakon.
You can find Otakon videos of everybody in the con just standing out on the front lawn of the convention center.
That would make me so angry. Like, if somebody ruined my convention and... You know, having to, like, interrupt whatever I'm doing. Like, if I'm in the dealer's room or in a panel, like, you're wasting somebody's panel time, you know?
Yeah.
Like, somebody got their panel and they're presenting, and you have to waste their time in order to interrupt that stuff. That's, like, that's not funny.
Yeah.
No, it's not.
Because imagine how long you'd have to wait, especially for the Heinz Convention Center.
Oh,
they'd have
God.
To go through all three floors, every single room, just to make sure there's really no fire, and find the alarm that got pulled.
Okay, so what about you guys on the other side of the mic? Do you guys have some horror stories?
I have one. Sarah,
I know. Yeah, I know you said that you've had
one. Okay, so this is just a little bit of a how-to guide of how to not act like an asshole if you're at a convention trying to hit on a girl. It's okay. You can hit on girls. That's fine. Don't be a creep about it, okay? Don't be a creep.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we girls, we like to be hit on. We like the attention. It's nice. We think we're attractive, but don't make it creepy. So, I was at a convention in Ohio because I'm from Ohio, and it's relatively small. Like, it cannot even touch Anime Boston. Like,
was it OhioCon?
No. OhioCon's pretty big.
That's what I thought.
It's a lot smaller. I'm not going to say the name in case this guy finds me and is like, "Why are you talking shit about me?"
Wow, that would be even creepier.
It would be really creepy.
No, I remember you. He already knows where you are.
So I got there the first day of the convention, and there was like a really tiny dealer's room. So tiny, there was like five dealers. And there's a piano in the middle of it, and it was kind of in like a nice meeting spot because, you know, people would come down and like play Zelda tunes or whatever, and it was nice. And I met the guy there, and we just chatted and stuff like that. But then he kind of followed me around everywhere. And everywhere I looked, there he was. And suddenly, he's inviting me to go to his car to watch him drink. And I'm like, no, I don't want to. That's what he told me.
Because watching someone drink is so awesome.
Do you want to watch me drink?
No, that's exactly what he said, though. Like, I'm not even making that up. He's like, do you want to, me and my friend are going to go drinking. Do you want to come and watch us? No, I don't.
That sounds the opposite of so much fun. And then, is your ride a windowless van?
And then,
what, he thinks you're gonna like take notes or something?
Oh, drinking. Okay.
No, and then he would say things like, "By the end of the day, I'm gonna be making out with you."
Whoa. That's bad.
You don't say that.
By the end of the day, I'm taking a bat to your face. Like,
don't go and away. Then, no. And guys, remember, the icing on the cake. I wasn't legal at the time. I wasn't even 18. And he knew that. And he still tried.
That's what he was. No, it's okay. Like, I'm a pedophile. I've got this. I'm a pedophile.
Like,
okay?
This isn't my first kitty party, all right? I'm like, what are you doing?
It's okay. I'm a registered sex offender.
No. See, I got an ID in a nice blue square.
Literally, and I told him, you realize I'm 17, right? And he's like, I have this thing about age. And I was like, stop there. I don't want to hear anything else. You're done. Go. You go home. You've lost. Go.
Oh, God.
Yeah, the last 20 had a problem with age, too. That didn't stop me. Oh.
And then there was a point when I had to leave, because, you know, my mom was picking me up, because I'm underage, and I have to go home. And I was like, all right, dude, I'm leaving. Bye. And he said, no. Let me talk to your mom. I'll convince her that you should let her stay.
Whoa!
Oh my God, that's so creepy. Your mom and call the cops.
I was so like, creepy. You cannot talk to my mom. My mom already hates anime. I don't need someone like you giving her an even worse impression of anime.
Oh my God!
You've
been like, smoke bomb.
I think you win the scariest.
That was
story.
My first con.
Pocket sand.
I'm impressed that didn't scare you away in any sort of way.
I have pride that I know that was one creepy guy, and you know, one creepy guy out of, you know, maybe like 300, 400 people, not too bad. I fended it off pretty well.
Well,
I had some friends who were like trying to help me get away from him. Didn't work too well, but they were trying. Just for all the guys out there, it's okay to hit on girls at anime conventions. Just don't do it like that. And you'll be good.
Read the signals. Yeah, and if you could, just try. Please just try. Try not to be a pedophile.
I know it's really hard to ask this of you, but try not to be a pedophile.
Sarah, one of the guys in our group is literally, he does security for a job, so you'll be fine.
Thank you. But no, and that was not my first con. I had fun otherwise, you know, like Brad Swale was there. That was fun. There was no line, Brad's by the way. There was like two people.
So you didn't experience a full Brad Swale?
No, I did not. It was good. I was cosplaying as Ed, and then I had this. It was a really positive experience where I was walking around with my like metal arm that I crafted out of sheet metal myself, Oh,
very
seriously,
nice.
Out of sheet metal?
Uh-huh, sheet metal. I got so many cuts.
We need to talk a lot, Anna.
I got so many cuts.
I thought I, like, cut myself all over that by accident. Sense. Oh, my God, it was the worst. But no, I had fun. I was all awesome looking. And then I was just walking around, and there's Alphonse. And he's, like, full-on armor.
Oh, cool.
And there was a guy like that at Anime Boston last year.
I'm just like, I opened my arms up, and I'm like, brother! And he's like, Edward! And then we, like, do this running hug kind of thing. It was a lot of fun.
Was it a slow motion one?
Not slow motion, but almost. Almost.
It kind of sounds like Rob's That Was Nice story. Well, that was nice.
That was nice. So, like, creepy, and then that was nice.
Evan? Yeah, Evan?
Well, that's the thing. I don't really have that. I don't really have a con horror story other than The Great Weight of 08, which you already touched on. But I guess maybe the only thing I could really say is that back in 2009, it was me and the anime club at Salem State separated, mm-hmm. The rooms for the boys and girls, because that's what you do. And they had booked a one king-sized bed for six people. And the one fat guy got the bed, and all of us had the floor. And
oh my God.
Throughout the whole convention, it's me trying to have a good time, but having horrible back pains because the inflatable bed I brought had a hole in it.
Which hotel did you stay at this
It was
one?
At the Sheraton.
Oh, really? Okay.
Really?
I'm gonna tell you right now, if you have an air mattress that doesn't work, ditch it. It will make it worse. I guarantee you.
It did.
You will thank yourself for just sleeping on plain carpet.
Well, that's the thing, too. Plain carpet was bad on my back as well. It was such a painful experience. And this was, like, the first year that I went as media. But the funny thing was, I wasn't told I got a press badge until I was there at Anime Boston.
Oh, wow.
She had forgotten.
Surprise!
Oh, my gosh.
So my horror story isn't as impressive as everybody else's.
As a pedophile.
I have, like, two minor horror stories, but they're not really horror stories as much as just, like, awkward stories. Like, I've always noticed at, like, conventions and stuff. I've been to a couple. I've been going since... When did we start?
Oh, you started after me. I don't know when you started.
Yeah, you came with us in 2008, I think, was 08? Your first year.
Yeah, I think that was your first year. Yeah, I've been there for a while, and I think the best thing about Anime Boston is you run into people who have the same interests as you. They're in on the same jokes. So, like, Edward and Alphonse, hey, why are you so short? And, everyone, loses their mind because...
I always said it! I'm not a pipsqueak! Pipsqueak!
Right, exactly. But there are some people there that I don't know why sometimes they go because they just don't want any interaction. But they put on guises that they do. a story I'm going to use... from my buddy Jeff. He was in line at, I believe it was Otakon, and the line kind of serpentine back and forth, so you see the same people over and over again. And so they noticed a guy with a really cool shirt, and it's like, it's a bunch of references all thrown into one in a really clever way. So on the way around, he asked him, hey, that's a really cool shirt. Where did you get it? Like, that's awesome. And the guy just looks at him like he's crazy and just goes, I don't know, and just, like, storms off. And it's just like, okay, like, if you're wearing a shirt that's cool and awesome, isn't that like a open
invitation? Like,
yeah,
ask me about
exactly.
it.
And I had an experience where I was stuck in, like, the help desk line, which there's only one in Anime Boston. And God help you if you, like, mess up your ID in any way, because you will be sent to this line where you have to wait 45 minutes a person. And so I'm just trying to chat up with somebody, and I notice he has one of the brain slugs from Futurama, and I was like, oh, that's really cool. Did you make that yourself? And he just kind of, like, looks at me and then, like, turns around. And I was like...
Well, wait, he could have been in character.
I did think of that. But, like, there's sometimes where it's like, if you're wearing memorabilia that, is an open invitation to, like, hey, I'm part of the same group you are. I don't know.
Just, like, expect it? Like,
yeah.
Know how to respond and be...
Right, like...
That'd be like wearing a shirt that says, ask me about my shirt, and then someone asking you, and you'd be like, yeah.
Like, the point of going in cosplay and, like, memorabilia is, to be part of that you know, community, I think. So, I don't know, guys. Open up. We're not all crazy. Except that one guy who totally wanted to get with you. I mean,
yeah, he was really
unless
crazy.
Unless you're a pedophile.
Unless you're a pedophile. In Ohio.
In Ohio. He's last seen wearing a Superman shirt.
Oh, my God. James is wearing a Superman shirt.
Oh, shit. I'm sorry. I totally didn't mean that. The guy at the con was wearing a Superman shirt.
No, I had like a dress shirt over it, so I unbuttoned it in full of fashion.
So the cops will be knocking on our door in 2 weeks.
Yeah,
2 weeks. Don't be wearing a Superman
shirt. It's fine. She's legal now.
So I don't know how I should feel about this, James.
It means she's not interested.
Yeah, she's legal now.
Oh. This is bad.
So with that, pedophile jokes.
It was really, really, really bad.
How about we move on to some fan service?
Yeah.
That sounds like great idea.
We actually have quite a few pieces this week, too.
Hopefully
which is
no one's
cool.
Asking about age things.
We actually had a couple requests on our Facebook page asking if we had seen certain shows or Matt, not necessarily a fan, but he also works for the Nerdy Show network as well.
He could still be a fan.
Yeah, he could totally still be a fan. I'm just saying that he's an associate first and then a fan second.
Okay.
Maybe.
So Matt, he was asking if we had checked out Log Horizon, which for those who don't know, Log Horizon is the one that came out last season, and it's said to be it's generally the same exact plot as Sword Art Online.
Well, that's what the speculation was.
Right.
Is it Sword Art Online?
Yeah, he had suggested to us that we do see it because it is something completely different. We will get around to it. It is in my Crunchyroll queue. It's on Crunchyroll for free, so I'm gonna check it out. Yeah, so I'm definitely gonna get around to it eventually, but I still have hundreds of days worth of anime that I haven't watched yet. Next up, we have our fan Kito. He actually contributed earlier, and he said that he didn't have a con story to send us because he's up in the Canadias and
Canadias
and he. He doesn't have too many cons up there, so he doesn't go very often. Aww. He actually he's from
leave the Canadians.
Yeah, he's from the western one, so almost Alaska.
Yeah, oh, and, British Columbia basically.
And he goes to SakuraCon in Seattle, which we hope to make it out there one day.
Are we going to read his whole message? Because it's hilarious.
Oh, yeah. Well, awesome. I'll get around to that. But first, he was asking us if he's ever going to get a Boku no Pico or what was the other one? Sono Habura, which both of those are LGBT-friendly.
Well, kind of.
Anime.
Because for those of you who don't know what Boku no Pico is, it's an infamous... It's one of the most infamous Shotokan yaois.
Oh.
And it has traps in it. It has little boys. It has lots of ukes and lots of semis and big hands.
trap is a politically incorrect word now.
I'm still gonna use it because that's. I mean that's.
What,
just
what,
the,
what
that's
else
for the
would you call it?
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
No, I mean, I'm serious right now. Like,
no, it's. Just, I mean,
I've heard things on forums saying people shouldn't say traps anymore. I'm just saying.
I don't even know that it is.
It's just because of people who are transgendered feel that kind of like demeans them or whatever.
But
wait,
the word is trap.
That's what that's for?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, it's a trap is a boy that dresses up as a girl and.
I think it's an acceptable term.
But it's not. But the thing is. It's not transgender, though.
No,
right.
I know, but calling it
it's
a trap is horrible.
In female clothing. So cross-dressing? Do you want to just call it cross-dressing?
No, it's something completely different. Because cross-dressing isn't a sexual thing. Trap is a sexual thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, I apologize to anyone who may be offended, but I don't know what else to call it.
Yeah, if anybody is offended by the word trap, we've already said it like 10 times.
Yeah, right. And I'm going to continue using it, so...
I have a friend like that, so I'm like, guys, shut up.
So, Kito, I don't know.
I already emailed him back. I said it'll probably be quite a while before you get your Boku no Pico review.
We'll put it in the suggestion box way back here.
but it would make a pretty hilarious review.
I agree.
I would like
two things
wrong
with Boku no Pico.
There you go. Kito actually sent us some more fan service that
contributed. It was a lot of contributions to last week's episode with the Black History Month, because Kito himself is part of Black History, I suppose. He said to us that he is half black and half Chinese. He says waffle colored.
Okay, then. I love it. As long as Kito says I can call him waffle colored, then I suppose I can do that.
That's glorious.
He said Glitch should confirm this information. You know, Glitch.
Yeah, Glitch isn't on this episode, but we did send him this information, so we will be sure to email you back with the other stuff.
He was busy.
Yeah. So first off, Glitch, you owe Kito a quarter because...
he said he would let it slide this time because of the... Yeah. Because
he finished Miraniki.
Because it was, yeah.
On our suggestion.
Yeah. So. No, it wasn't our suggestion. He did it on his own, so congrats for doing that. I let Kito know that I'm sorry, I've been planning to do a Miraniki review for a year now. I just never got around to it. If I ever had gotten around to it, lives may have been spared. I'm sorry.
So many dead.
poor Miraniki watchers.
Okay. And so there's also, I don't know if we want to cover number four, the Beavers thing.
Yeah. So apparently there's a DJ called Charlemagne the God who has made it official that the N-word has to be replaced with Beavers. That is official.
Oh. And it got awkwardly quiet.
I was not going to say anything.
No,
that makes it so much better.
I'm walking away from
here.
Yeah, we need Glitch.
Okay, no. My question is, now, is this like his house where we were told it would be cool and then no one used it again? Because I don't want to start saying Beaver and then everyone just be like,
no, Beaver.
Yeah.
Beaver. Like Justin Beaver?
Oh, yeah, Beaver? Yeah, fuck him.
It'd be good if people said, if that's like died down. That'd be beautiful.
Nah, he needs to be deported already. Sorry to our fan who's in Canada, but we don't want him anymore.
Well, we lost the hockey game, so, yeah, we, so lost we have the to keep them.
Yeah, didn't you hear that story? That the wager was whoever, like in the U.S. versus Canada Olympic game, whoever lost keeps Bieber.
No!
Damn it.
So not only did the men lose, but the women also lost against Canada.
The women lost, the three teams won.
We're screwed.
So what does that mean? Bieber. If both teams lost, who is the other really bad Canadian out there that we have to keep?
Crosby?
Oh.
Oh. Man, come on.
Got him.
In other news, we now have three Bruins that have Olympic medals.
Yeah.
All three different colors.
Yep.
All right.
But the people or the medals?
Okay, so let's see.
Wow. They're all mostly for Glitch, so we're not Glitch.
Oh, yeah, there was one continuing about Glitch's story about Siri, which was a hilarious story.
It was from the same radio show, the DJ Charlemagne the God.
Was
posted.
It?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, because it was from a segment called The Breakfast Club?
Yeah.
Okay, that's good. And then another black anime character that we forgot about, which was Shigi from Ikitosen. Now, I've seen most of Ikitosen. I've seen up to Dragon Destiny, and I have both the PSP games. So he must be either in Extreme Executioners or the season after that, because I am familiar with the character, but I have not seen Shigi, unfortunately. So I totally forgot about him, but thank you for reminding me. And then he sent us, which we will have to put this link in the description, a clip from an anime called Black Heaven. The clip shows a Japanese person visiting the United States and how he doesn't understand anything. And this is some of the worst, and me and Kito agree on this, the worst English dub I have ever heard. And Kito even said the worst English dub he has ever heard outside of even hentai. Like, it's worse than a hentai dub.
Wow.
And I watched it and I was like, no way. Yeah.
Link in the description.
Yeah. But other than that, he thanks us for our time, and we're glad to have Kito as a fan too. I'm really glad he likes the shows, and he says, peace out, Beavers. Thanks, Kito, man.
Okay, next up we have Omni G Sage on the Nerdy Show forums, who commented on our video saying that we forgot Patrick Panther Spencer from iShield 21.
Yep.
Ooh. Which I cannot believe I skipped that. iShield 21 is the football anime that I've been
watching. Oh, yes, yes.
I've been watching.
My friend Alan really likes that one.
Yeah, it's awesome. And Panther is a super awesome character, too. He's the, like, only person who can contend against Eye Shield. And he's introduced as the running back of the American team. Now,
okay.
Now, the story with him is pretty cool, but it's another one of those things that it's really unintentionally racism from Japan.
I was going to say, oh, so they introduced a black character to be a really good athlete.
Well, it gets
how
worse.
How progressive.
It gets worse because I forget what the reasoning was, but the whole story begins with when they play the team, he's not allowed to play because he disregarded something of his coach. And so instead of being able to play the football, he was the only person on the team who was made to lug around all of their equipment and luggage, and he was a towel boy and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, God.
Ah, yeah. So... Oh, yeah. There you go. Very
it made
nice.
Me kind of uncomfortable.
This is uncomfortable.
But then they let him play football, and he's really cool, and he's a good character. He's an... Like, on the enemy team, like, he's, like, the first major... Like, the American team is the first major enemy of Eye Shield 21, but Panther is, like, a good guy on their team, and, like, he becomes best friends with Eye Shield and things like that. And it's really good storytelling, so I really like...
Neat.
Okay, and then our next one comes from...
Jim.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Jim also contributed to the Black History Month episode. He was talking about a show...
Tenjo Tenge.
Yeah, Tenjo Tenge. Yeah, Tenge. That's right. And the character's name...
Bob Makihara.
I brought that character up when we were recording one of my episodes.
Oh, yeah, really?
I think you did. I remember that.
That's right. He mentioned that character because we totally forgot and neglected to mention that character. Mostly because we have not seen that anime. So that helps a lot that he reminded us. He said that he doesn't get a lot of screen time.
But he's got good fights.
Yeah, but he has good fight scenes.
And for our last bit of fan service, comes in the form of a Tumblr ask.
Anonymous asker sent us. He was listening to our Black History Month podcast, and he thought we were a bit off on saying that Japan is kind of, you know, they don't really have any racial tensions there. Because there might be some racial tension between the Chinese, Russians, Koreans, and all that sort of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
However, especially in the Tucci forms.
Yeah, however, the thing of it is he also added that it might not count as racist because it's historical and military, like...
Yeah. Okay, no.
So take a look at this. It's actually... Believe it or not, the Japanese have no animosity towards Koreans. Koreans are actually the ones that are racist towards Japanese people.
Yeah.
That is a fact.
That's what I was saying, because sometimes the Korean people actually go on to Tucci and pose as someone who's Japanese and then say something against another country to make it seem like it's something that the Japanese are saying.
Yeah. I forgot about that, yeah.
Remember when the Boston Marathon explosion happened? Someone from Korea went on to Tucci, posed to some of the Japanese, saying how happy it was that it happened.
Yeah. Now, I'm sure that there are some Koreans that are not racist toward Japanese people. That's obviously a generalization.
Yeah.
But that is the way it is. No, Japanese are not racist towards Koreans. However, the Chinese and Japanese are still fighting over the Senkaku Islands and other areas of land, including airspace. They're still fighting over the sky. That is more of a military tension.
Yeah,
mostly because of the genocide that happened during World War II.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, the Chinese and the Japanese have been going to war ever since there have been boats.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty
so,
much.
So, yeah, that one I don't know if I would call that racism. I'm not really sure.
No, but it's a different tension than what we kind of think of in America.
Yeah, that's more of a prejudice than a racism.
Yeah.
I'm not sure about the Russians. I don't know what that's about.
It's the Russians.
I just know that really honestly, Japan kind of has a problem with foreigners. Like they is that a thing?
No, they don't.
They're interested in foreigners. That's for sure. I mean, they obviously with as any foreigner comes along into anyone else's country. I mean, there's always that kind of like, yeah, you're kind of weird kind of thing.
Like, you don't understand my culture.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's always that, like, two-sided coin of, you know, oh, they're interesting because they're not from around here, well, but it always kind of like, eh, it's
well, different. And it's kind of interesting because, you know, you go to Japan and you see restaurants that have signs in front of them that say no foreigners, like, no foreigners allowed. That's not a racist thing, that's a cultural thing. Like, they want to give their business to Japanese people because they don't want to waste their time trying to communicate with you when they can't communicate with you, you know?
Yeah.
So I guess it's time for some shameless plugs.
Yay, shameless plugs.
All right, guys.
This is going to be a long one.
If you guys want to join in on our conversation, maybe continuing to give us more con horror, for the whole month of con month, we will read your con horror stories regardless of whether we're doing it or not. We'll add it as a part of fan service in Tapagotchi. If you want to contribute more stories to us, you can email us at wickedanimereviews@gmail.com. That is wickedanimereviews@gmail.com, all one word. You can also find us at facebook.com/wickedanime, where we post frequent updates and events of stuff that's going to be happening. Wait for the update on our panel. You'll know when our panel gets posted, there'll be lots of Andrew WK. and then if you like, you can find us at youtube.com/wickedanimereviews, where we have all of our review videos, our convention footage, including last year's Anime Boston footage, which I recommend you watch that with our panel and our floor footage, because it's pretty funny.
Yeah, it's our biggest and our best content.
Yeah, and it's funny. We promise you it's not boring interviews, it's funny. So you can find us at nerdyshow.com/wickedanime, where you can find our reviews as well as our podcast if you're not listening to it right now on iTunes. You can find us at Tumblr, where Victoria is there protecting it and watching over it sometimes.
And Wicked A Fangirl.
Yeah. Well, that's Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
If you'd like to learn more, check out your local library.
I think any of our other links will be in the description if we missed any this week. Usually we don't.
I think I got them all.
All right, you guys on the other side of the mic, go ahead.
Do you want to go first?
Jinx, you owe me a soda.
For the recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the Boston Bastard Brigade, you can find us at www.b3crew.com. If you have any questions, comments, song requests for No Borders, No Race, or if you have any questions for our Japanese teacher, Sawa Sensei, please send us our questions. Write to us at thebastards@bostonbastardbrigade.com. You can follow me on Tumblr at b3crew.tumblr.com, on Twitter on king_baby_duck, and you can like us on facebook.com/BostonBashBrigade. You can also read my other articles on egmnow.com/Electric Sisterhood. And do not forget about the other shows under the Land of Ash, including the Electric Sisterhood Geek Aggro Indie Issues Program.
That's awesome. You know what? I do have a question for Sawa Sensei.
Okay.
Who is she racist against?
No, I'm not asking her that.
That is the perfect question.
Although I want to give her a bit of a shout out too for Sawa Sensei, because they just the person who did the end theme for Attack on Titan, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
She just released a new single. Is it Yoko Hikasa? She just released a new single for X Futurize. The B side, Technoholica, was written by Sawa Sensei.
All right.
I suppose it's my turn then. You can find me on YouTube at 42 Anime Reviews. You can find me on Twitter at 42 Believer. You can find me on Tumblr at 42believer.tumblr.com. Is that all? Then you can find me on Facebook, 42 Anime Reviews on Facebook. So be sure to, you know, subscribe and follow and all that jazz. And you can also find me over at the Podtaku channel. I am a member of their JTaku cast, and we do lots of fun discussions over there, or not, sometimes.
Looking at you, Mantaku.
I was not in Mantaku. That was not my domain. But yes, you can find me in those lovely places. Subscribe.
Yeah. Sarah, you don't need any more subscribers, okay? Give some of those to
us.
I
always need more subscribers.
I'll subscribe to you, Sarah.
Yay! I just hit like 4,000 yesterday.
Damn.
Jesus Christ.
I know.
No, it's not Jesus Christ.
It's Sarah.
It's Kami-sama.
All right. So I guess that's it for this week of Con Month.
So we have one more episode of pre-con, and then the next episode will be
post-con.
Yeah, will be post-con on the Sunday of Anime Boston.
Yeah, we will be recording again directly after we leave Anime Boston. We'll see who's going to join us then, because it's usually a good crew.
We might have to do a roundtable again, like we did last week.
Yeah. That was a lot of fun.
Except we were all dying. Yeah. I was dying.
You were dying.
Yeah, which I'm, like, doing right now. So.
All right. So that's it for this episode of the Wicked Anime Podcast. We will see you all next time. Time to sign off the only way we know how.
K-Bye!
Oh my god, holy shit!
Whoa, 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 whoa! Are you shitting me?
It's not like a front-facing photo, but it's definitely him. Here, he's in the blue shirt. You can't see his face.
What do you mean you can't see his face? Are you, like, behind a dumpster staring?
Oh, my God! Hey, is that called a mockery?
And look, Ryan Stiles!
I'm like, holy shit, I can't believe I found this photo!
That's awesome.
I was like, it's kind of weird. Like, there's, a space in between the girl in the green dress in front of it and whoever's in front there.
Yeah, I thought he had, a sword hand.
I thought he had, yaoi hands. Like, because it looked like he has a huge hand coming out of his blue sleeve.
Slenderman.
Okay.
Oh, no.
Okay, so here's
that
my
one makes a lot of sense,
here's
though.
The worst part. We can't even see his face. It just makes it worse.
That is
Who
his
are
face.
You?
Well, the back of his head looks like a creeper.
Yeah.
So.
Who are you?
Yeah,
he looks like he's in his 40s.
He was like he told me he was 27.
Bullshit.
Also, he's not in a... Clearly, he is not in a Superman shirt, so I am off the hook.
No. The front was Superman. The front was Superman.
Honey, your shirt
You don't have proof?
Hey, James, your shirt's the same color as that one.
Shut up!
Shutting up.
But yours is a short sleeve shirt, at least. His is a long sleeve.
That is definitely not James, though.
God.
Sorry, I just, sidetracked that whole thing.
Wicked Egg! Thanks for listening to the Wicked Anime Podcast. As listener-supported entertainment, we rely on you to keep this and other shows on the Nerdy Show Network alive by telling a friend, rating and reviewing us on iTunes, shopping on nerdyshow.com/store, or directly donating to the network. Any size contribution gets you exclusive Nerdy Show audio and images and lets you participate in our monthly support drives. Just go to nerdyshow.com, support to chip in. To find out how you or your company can underwrite this or other Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com. Sponsorships. For more episodes of the Wicked Anime Podcast, as well as other fine programs, community forums, videos, articles, and more, head over to nerdyshow.com. You can subscribe to all Nerdy Show Network podcasts via the iTunes Store. And for the latest news, follow us on all your favorite social networks. We're glad to be your home for authentic nerdy entertainment.
Did it just... Did it breathe?